Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Al's mom asked what channel the Rutgers basketball game was on that. So we could watch the Jerry Head.
Yeah, she said, oh, I'd like to see the Jerry Head on TV.
Look at this.
And then I got a text from my dad 5 seconds into the broadcast and said, I've already seen the Jerry Head.
Awesome.
People who would never watch Rutgers basketball ever. So
be an uptick in viewership last night.
Yeah, I would think so.
I don't know that my mother watched, but I got a frantic call from her yesterday as you guys were discussing how to get it there before you had found Harris. And she has a friend who is a Rutgers alum, I guess, who's season tickets. And he called her. I can meet Eddie. I'll go anywhere. So you had people coming out of the woodwork that wanted to get the Jerry Head.
It's great.
Sure.
I know. I mean, there were a number of tweets of people volunteering their time and money and effort and everything that said, I could help you with the Jerry Head. But we figured it out and it worked out beautifully.
Can I ask an obvious question that you might have covered yesterday? And apologize if you did. Yeah. Why couldn't you have just brought it?
I was not bringing my own head.
All right.
There's a backstory to why. I know that Jerry, for his own personal feelings, but I also think there's something that goes on here that makes us feel a certain way about carrying your own cardboard cutout, and that's D.A., Damon Amendolara, at CBS Sports Radio, every morning carries his own cartoon cardboard cutout from one place to another down the hall, and it looks pathetic.
And Al's been mocking him for years for
it. Right. I mean, it looks pathetic.
Right. Your producer has to do that. He can't be dragging his own cartoon head around.
Right. It's like when you see a clown go to his car and he's got like the fake bouquet of flowers and his big clown shoes and he climbs into his Prius. You know, it just doesn't, it's very sad. You know, it's just very, very sad.
Does Marash have to do any work on that show? I mean, geez.
Yeah. Apparently he doesn't do much, but
Tiki and Tierney's producer, I know, carries their cardboard caricatures in and out of
That's what you have to. I mean, I think you have to, you know, for crying out
Guy
loud.
Guy gets away with murder. It's unbelievable.
He definitely does. All right, CeeLo, you got an update for
us? Yeah, it's brought to you by the Ray Katina Auto Group. Hurry into the Own the Adventure sales event at Land Rover Edison and Land Rover Marlboro. So Steve Cohen's not going away just yet. New York Post says he has not given up on buying the Mets. Sources say he believes no other bid will come close to the $2.6 billion he offered.
Confused.
Yes, okay.
Why?
Well, okay, so when he was close to getting the 80% stake, Rob Manfred was asked about it, and he's not the most popular guy in sports, Rob Manfred was asked about it, and he was like, oh, I foresee no issues with Steve Cohen being the majority owner. Okay, great. So then this thing falls through. Manfred has a press conference. It comes up, and he goes, well, you know, I don't know if he would have been able to get approval. It's really not the Wilpon's fault. Mm-hmm. Then all these stories come out about how the other owners wouldn't have approved him anyway, so it didn't even matter.
Damage control. That the deal
fell through. And now you're telling me that he's going to buy the entire thing.
Maybe.
All of that stuff went out the window with the 5 years and the 80%. He's going to get SNY, and he's going to get approved by the other owners?
Well, he wants SNY as part of it, and his theory, I guess, through these sources is he doesn't see anyone else coming close to his bid. And if it's ultimately about the money.
And it was also, reading the article too, the Mets lose upwards of $50 million a year as an operating baseball team. But SNY makes $150 million. So he would like that to offset the losses.
Like, and why is he going to take the thing that's in the red and not the thing that's in the black?
Right.
And the quote on that was, he might pay a small premium to never have to deal with Fred and Jeff again. As far as getting the majority stake in SNY in as well.
But this is another one of those things where I got so excited and I got way ahead of myself when I heard about this the first time, thought it was a done deal, and then the rug was ripped out from underneath us, all of us that wanted to see this happen. So I can't get excited about this again.
You gotta
now,
be careful.
Could you imagine, and I know the Wilpon, say what you want about them, but I know they love being the owners of the Mets. But could you imagine being in a position where $6 billion, we'll think about it.
You're turning it down. I know.
I said $2.6 million. I said billion.
Billion dollars, yeah.
Man.
Right. What's Saul Katz's cut? We always forget about that.
That I don't
Katz.
Know. That, but I have read that he wants out.
Right.
Well, yeah. So does, I mean, Fred wants out. Saul wants it. These guys are like, listen, we've had a great life. We've made a lot of money. We're old now, and we want to get rid of this thing because I don't need the aggravation and the agita. And then Jeff's like, wait a second. I'm not that old. This is kind of cool.
Where am I going?
Yeah, what am I going to do?
He's Costanza. He doesn't want to leave his job.
That's basically what's going on.
They give him an office.
Yeah, maybe they will. Seth Lugo out to let everyone know his fractured left pinky toe, all good. Nothing to worry about there.
I'm not too concerned about it. Like I said, I still throw with high intensity and high volume, so arm will stay in shape and just go from there.
And he said it was an ottoman in the hotel.
Yes, correct. An ottoman in the hotel that he banged the toe against. First broken bone in his life.
Was it getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, as we speculated?
I don't know if he got that in-depth with his explanation, but it was the ottoman in the hotel room.
See, I would need to know every detail of this. That's what I would need
to know. Well, I'll go back and see if they covered the specifics of that. But he did clarify something Luis Rojas had said on Tuesday when the injury was first revealed.
There was a little miscommunication yesterday. I am still throwing. I'm just not throwing off a slope. So I'm just taking a little light on my feet, but I'm about to go out and throw right now. So I'm going to keep the arm in shape and just take it easy on my feet for a couple days.
Well, and everyone
interesting,
know
though. I thought Luis
panic.
Rojas said he was still throwing.
I had read it that they were going to give him a couple days off,
all right.
But I guess not. So anyway, it's all clear now because Lugo spoke and he told you what's going on. Steven Matz admits that he's in a competition for a spot in the starting rotation, 6 guys for 5 jobs. Rojas says he's got to clean up his early inning struggles.
That's something that he's working really hard on. So, you know, that's the name of the of his task.
Rick Porcello, Marcus Stroman will be the starters for Saturday's split squad exhibition openers facing the Marlins and the Cardinals, respectively. With the Yankees, Giancarlo Stanton, the latest to chime in on sign stealing. He ripped into the Astros for their 2017 transgressions.
How would I feel? If I knew what was coming in 17, I probably would have hit 80-plus home runs. So.
That was, of course, the year he hit 59 with the Marlins.
This is one guy I do not need to hear from. I'm sorry.
I agree.
I mean, talk about a little self-awareness here. I mean, you didn't play at all. The last time we saw you was a video of you trying to run from home to first to see if you could play in a friggin' ALCS game. You're breaking stuff and pulling stuff all over the place, and now you have to chime in on this? If I were Giancarlo Stanton, I said,
Giancarlo,
I have to put together a big season here. I don't care about what happened over there. Everybody's talking about it. I need to go out and get back to my MVP level, so find your comments somewhere else. Go back to Gleyber Torres, see if he wants to talk about it. I mean, of all the guys that have to chime in on this, zip it. He's the one who put me over the top with it. Aaron Judge, you want to say something? You lost out on an MVP? Fine. You're illegal.
So you would have gone no comment route.
I would have said exactly what I just said. Be like, yeah, okay, they cheated. Everybody else is talking about it. I'm getting paid $30 million a year to rehab. So I've got bigger issues in my life than to comment on the Houston Astros. Mm. And this guy will probably, I mean, what'll happen? 5-6 games in? You know, it'll be some other issue like
miss the rest of April.
Right. I mean, serious. Just zip it, man.
Well, he didn't zip it. He went on, and similar to his teammates, doesn't think Houston's cheating stopped after 17.
I don't think you really stop until you get caught on something like that. So my personal view would be no.
Especially since their remorse seems so ingenuine.
We know that they don't really care to give an apology or explain their side, and it showed by their response.
They're basically forced into apologizing after everything came to light.
You know the repercussions of doing something like that, and you're only really sorry because you got caught.
I did enjoy when they asked him about, you know, do you feel any different about Mike Fiers since he was the one that...
Did you have that? That was an interesting clip.
We will get to that, yes. We do have it, and essentially the answer was no. I still dislike the guy.
I mean, this guy hit me in the face and it broke my entire face. I'm not going to all of a sudden feel better about it. So Tom Izzo, our digital guy, tweeted out, I guess, to Giancarlo Stanton or to somebody, like, it's a slider low and away every time, just so you know. You're still gonna swing and miss at it. But it is true, like, Giancarlo Stanton, everybody in the world knows that with 2 strikes they're gonna throw him a slider low and away, and he still swings over the top of it. So I mean, even when he knows what's coming, he's gonna strike out. That's a guy that I just,
you don't care for.
But here's the thing, I do care for him. I was the only idiot last year going into the postseason that had his back, saying he was going to hit. I said, I think he's going to be back. I think he's going to be healthy. I think he's going to hit. And then he ends up sitting out. They keep him on the postseason roster with dreams.
Did he DH one game?
He did.
Right.
And then that was it. And then he came back, and then the next game he was done. So it's I've had it. He's
I'll
back
tell you one thing that is interesting, though, about what he said, because Judge said the same thing, too. Regardless of what Rob Manfred said in terms of the penalties or could be suspensions or fines, I mean, the last 2 days we're hearing guys say, we're going to police this. We will take care of this, since the league basically didn't. That's going to be a dangerous game for the Astros.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to hit a guy in their back,
right,
throw with their legs. If there's like stuff up around the head, especially Giancarlo Stanton, who was a guy who knows how dangerous that can be, I don't want to see that stuff.
I think you're going to.
They've already talked about how they're going to be out in front of it. I mean, you know there's going to be stiff penalties for this stuff. I mean,
and they're still going to really do it. I think people will still do it.
Well, you're going to have to pick and choose who you have carry it out then, because you don't want to be sacrificing games in your
100%.
Own season.
I don't know if your ace pitcher is going to do it, but your four guy might.
Now, maybe it's a different story for the Yankees when the Astros come to New York, not until the middle of September and rosters are expanded and who knows what the standings look like at that point.
Well, I hope we're long past it by then.
Yeah. I know.
It's God. You really?
I expect April to be a bleep show for them.
Yeah, but I'm talking about specifically for the Yankees. It's a 4-game series.
I think we're past it. All right. Depends on how their season's going too. You know, if the Yankees have a 30-game lead and they're
cruising, that give them more incentive to be like, "Well, we got nothing to lose."
But you know what? Do you want to turn your season around in a weird way? Just be beyond it and be better than it.
I got one for you. Forget the retaliation. Let's say the Astros are fighting for a playoff spot, and the Yankees have the division locked up, and they're on cruise control.
No, that's different.
Nothing to play. No. Not for as far as retaliation, but do they go, you know what, to the wall and play it all out with all their starters when they could be giving
guys a
break to get lined up for the postseason?
Yeah, that's interesting. And to me, the ultimate revenge here for the Yankees is to go and win the World Series this year.
That's it.
That's all. So
you're going to sit there and you're going to throw at these guys. What does that really do? And if you end up hitting a guy in the head or in the face or whatever, and it's something very serious, I mean, that to me is not retribution. It makes you look horrible. I don't understand. Like, I understand everybody wants their pound of flesh. That's what I get. I just like this thirst for violence when it comes to hitting guys with 98-mile-an-hour fastballs. Like, all right, hit him in the back, fine. But what does that really do?
Nothing.
So a guy, and he goes to first base, like, oh, geez, that's really some sort of penalty. If you're throwing at a guy's head, I mean, that's borderline criminal.
The pound of flesh should be winning the games and taking them down
in
the playoffs.
Win the friggin' World Series, and everything is set up for you. Focus on that.
But only one team's going to do that. Other teams want to get theirs.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Yankees specifically, though, because that's all we hear every single day, and they were affected by the Astros in one for sure series in 2017, and maybe more, obviously, in 2019 as well, potentially, if they were still doing stuff in Houston.
New NFL league year begins March 18th. Owners and players hoping to hammer out a new collective bargaining agreement before then. I guess all the owners have been summoned to New York. They're supposed to meet later today, and then the players via conference call tomorrow. There's said to be mounting optimism that the CBA could get done sometime in the next week, expected to include changes to the playoff structure, which would take effect this coming season. You have the playoff field growing to 7 teams from each conference, but only one first-round bye in each conference, meaning you'd have 6 games on wild card weekend, and then down the road, expected to go to a 17-game season with the preseason reduced to 3 games for each team. So this will all be up for discussion, I guess, over the course of the next week or so, as they try to align and come to a common agreement. And the percentages of the take of revenue, I know, is up for grabs, and the players want their pound of flesh and so on and so forth. So we'll see how that all plays out. Meantime, former Browns tackle Greg Robinson held Wednesday in a Texas jail on a pending drug distribution charge. Federal agents said they found 157 pounds of marijuana in a rented vehicle he and two others were driving near the U.S.-Mexico border. And this went down
intent
on Tuesday as far as when they found
weed,
it.
Weed.
157 pounds of it.
That's
what the hell is that?
Former
Auburn teammate.
That's more weed than Al weighs.
Actually weigh 156, so that's a pound more weed.
Right.
My God.
I mean, think about that. Yeah, so I guess if I read this correctly, so first I thought when they said Border Patrol that these guys were dumb enough to try to go across the border with 157 pounds, but that's not what it was. So they were driving somewhere in West Texas, and a Border Patrol agent who had a drug-sniffing dog in his car actually was able to smell the weed as they passed by. So the
dog—that's incredible.
So I don't believe they were stopped first. I believe that what happened was, at least if I read it correctly, that the dog was like chilling in the car, and then this car goes by and is like, woof! And then, okay, let's go and pull these guys over. And then all of a sudden they find all this weed, $3,000 in cash and everything else. There was another NFL guy in there too in the car.
Well, I know a former teammate of his who I guess was didn't have much of an NFL career. They played together at Auburn.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is just, like, I don't know what type of money he was making. Do we know what type
he
of money
he made? He made some big money in his career.
Why is he selling bulk weed when he's made?
Probably gone through it all, and that's got probably got millions of dollars attached to it. And you would think it's probably not the first time he's done it.
He was a high draft pick. I know that. So right off the bat, I'm sure his signing bonus coming out of college.
I'm not denying it.
It's a second overall pick in 14.
Yeah, I mean,
fully guaranteed four-year, $21.28 million rookie contract.
$6.5 million last year.
Right, with the Browns.
He's went through all of that
already?
You
know, Greg, after taxes, it's really about $3 million.
What's the Ohio State tax, Boomer? Yeah, I guess he's a free agent.
All kidding aside, and you can Google it, I guess. 157 pounds?
Yes.
What does that equate to in dollars?
I don't know.
Garofalo was like, what does that equate to?
Right.
Somebody call up with an alias because, I mean,
there's going to be 800 calls.
He goes, what is the greatest reply to that tweet that I saw last night? I go, what is that worth? Do some quick math. Someone goes, well, apparently it's worth up to 20 years because that's what he's facing.
Is it going
to
be that much?
At a maximum. Right, exactly. NBA All-Star break comes to an end this evening. You'll have the Nets and the Sixers from Philadelphia. No Kyrie Irving. More trouble with the shoulder impingement. He's been ruled out already. You'll have coverage on the Fan 7:45. John Beilein officially resigned as Cavaliers head coach. What they were doing?
Yeah, so I guess the breaking point in this.
Oh, okay, yes.
You remember the whole thing with the film session, and he used the word thugs and then had the horrendous reasoning for it, which was wrong.
Yeah, his reasoning
made
was
no sense.
He meant to say slugs, but instead he said thugs.
Right, none of it made any sense. Right. And so I guess in the last couple of weeks, his players had been trolling him by playing music.
Bone that Thugs was, in Harmony.
That was basically
thuggish, ruggish,
thug
bone.
Heavy. With the lyrics, and they would do it when he was around and close by.
Tupac's Thug's Mansion.
Right.
So one of the stories had, I guess, players were calling him a dictator, essentially. So it didn't go so well.
No, it did not go well.
Cleveland?
Yeah. I guess he got reassigned. I guess they didn't work out a buyout, so he's going to do something for them, but he's not coaching them.
What's he going to do? Obviously,
I have
nothing
no idea.
Near the players. I mean,
I don't know.
So one of the players said anonymously that the worst part was him not owning to what he said.
I agree.
Which is so true.
It was a cockamamie apology.
Be like, listen, I didn't realize that was as offensive as it was to you guys. It's something I have to learn. You know, and then say that. It's not going to happen again. You know, I love you guys. Whatever you need to say. But I meant to say slug. You're not thugs.
Right, so play slower.
I meant to say rugs, that you guys are you're like lying down like a rug. Thug, I don't know how I came up with that. So
yeah, that was a big mistake.
Let's do the college hoops. The Jerry had at the rack last night, not exactly a good luck charm against Michigan.
The coaches exchange the handshakes. Final seconds tick away here at the rack, and for the first time in the 2019-2020 season, Rutgers falls on their home floor. Final score this evening, Michigan 60, Rutgers 52.
That's Jerry Murphy of Learfield.
Thank you.
That's College.
Nice.
Scarlet Knights led by three at the half, could not buy a bucket for a large chunk of the second half. 0-13 now all time against the Wolverines, and they even were without one of their key players. Yes,
Isaiah Livers who didn't play against them at Madison Square Garden either.
Right, and they won there as well.
So big. I mean, they're a huge team. But go ahead, sorry.
Rutgers now, that's all right, 18-9, 9-7 in Big Ten play. They're at Wisconsin Sunday afternoon, still hunting a quality road win for that tournament resume. Meantime, things went much better at Prudential Center for Seton Hall.
Knight gets the basketball, looks around, throws it toward the rim. Amukalashvili catches, fires, he hits, and Seton Hall wins it! McKnight threw it to the rim. Sandro caught it and in one motion pumped it over the rim and in.
Gary Cohen.
He should have went with Sandro
first time. I think he's a net negative.
The only one would have been better is if Minko was doing it. Can you imagine him trying to do Mamu
Kelishvili
quickly
still be
like
saying
that?
It. He'd be the only one left in the arena going, John, it's time to go, man. It's time to go. Shafili, Peely, Peely. Just give me another chance.
And I'm on the
lights go out. Wait, no.
And Tierney'd still be there.
Yeah. Come on, bro. It's over. I'm on to Shafili.
Mamu, the hero there. The Pirates finish off a season sweep of Butler, winning 74-72. They avoid a third straight home loss, much needed for them. And I'll play you some clips later from a one-on-one he did afterwards. So, wild story for him. So he's born in New York City, moved to Georgia, not the state, the whatever country or nation. I don't even know.
I didn't know that the first time Rutgers played them.
Right. And so, he said he's from Georgia.
Because I knew he was born here.
Yes.
So when I saw he was from Georgia, I just played it off that he was from Georgia.
He doesn't have much of an accent if you listen to him speak.
And so my partner goes, yeah, he's from, you know, Europe. I'm like, Europe? Isn't it by Florida?
Did he grow up a Braves fan?
and all due respect, Joe goes to me and goes, his name is Sandru Obamukhashvili. I don't think he's from
the South.
Atlanta. Good point. My bad.
Yeah, so the kid speaks four languages. His dad flew in for last night's game from like 5,000 miles away. So it's good stuff. Good for him, obviously. That's a good story there. Elsewhere, Louisville ripped Syracuse 90-66. NC State blew out
Duke. How about
Duke?
Yeah.
88-66. Blue Devils' worst loss as a ranked team against an unranked opponent in nearly 52 years. It has been a wild season in the ACC. I think
a
they're projected
season
only
all
have
over.
Four teams in the tournament at this point. Hockey, make it six straight road wins for the Rangers.
And back over, and here's Savannah Chad bringing it in. He's got a man up the wing. Kreider, who moves on. Kreider right around in front. He scores! Chris Kreider, and it's 4-2.
Doc Emmerich, NBC Sports Network, a 1-1 game after two turns into a 6-3 Blue Shirts victory. Kreider and Mika Zibanejad going two assists apiece. Artemi Panarin scored again, his 30th, and our boy Shesty, 37 saves. Igor Shesterkin winning his 7th out of his first 8 NHL starts. Rangers now within 6 points of a wild card spot. The Hurricanes in the mix there as well, and those two will meet tomorrow night in Raleigh. The Islanders fell to the Avalanche in Denver 3-1, an 0-4 road trip for the Isles. They scored 2 goals in 12 periods, so they are leaking oil as the trade deadline arrives on Monday. You get the Devils hosting the Sharks tonight, 7 p.m. at Devils Hockey Network on radio.com. And lastly, worth a mention, the NASCAR driver, Ryan Newman, walking out of the hospital yesterday.
Great picture with him and his two daughters.
His two daughters, one on each side, holding hands. So he's all good. Less than 48 hours after that crash, final lap at the Daytona 500.
Great news. Thank you, CeeLo. Jerry, make some people happy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.